Ben, you're recording also?
Yeah, I'm also recording, yeah.
Okay, hopefully it'll work, yeah, but at least I know we have a backup just in case.
Okay, yeah. Did it work last time?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, good.
Okay, good morning, everybody. This week's Parsha's Bo, we have the mitzvah of the end of the Parsha of Kadesh li kol b'chor peter kol rechem b'nei Yisrael b'adam u'v'heim alihu. So we have the mitzvah of Kedushas b'chor. So we know the peter rechem of the of an animal, the first animal to come out, has kedusha, and if you have an animal that was the first animal to come out of the womb, so that's a b'chor that has kedusha. That's why it's very important that when an animal is the firstborn, comes out, it has kedusha, and that means that you're not allowed to use it for, it's kodesh. Normally, when to make something a korban, you have to actually verbally state that this is a korban. But b'chor is kodesh me'elof. Right, a b'chor behema is kodesh me'elav. On its birth, coming out of the rechem, it gets its din of kedusha, and therefore you have to be very careful. Because why? Because if lemaisa, you're going to use it for mundane purposes, you're going to violate an iser because it's kodesh. Because normally you have a regular animal that's not a b'chor that came out. That was given birth to. So it's chulin, right? You can use it whatever you want, unless you makdish it. But b'chor behema is kadosh me'elof. It's kadosh me'elof. So you're putting yourself into you're in a very precarious situation, because now it's kaddish, and if you're going to use it for something else, you're going to violate an iser. So how do you avoid that? You see, if you have a base on mikdash, so you're going to bring it as a korban, right? And then you're finished, gemarnu. Yeah, you'll bring it as a korban. But today we don't have any base on mikdash to bring it. So what are we going to do? We're going to have an animal running around our field that's kaddish. And I can't use it for anything. So what are you going to do? And it'll only cause you problems. Because now it's a kodesh dika animal. I have no mizbeach to put it on. I have no beis hamikdash. So it's going to cause me is tzaras. Because if I end up using it, I'm going to violate an iser. So what do you do? So the Gemara, so Rav Shechter always says this is the precursor to Mechiras Chametz. Because Mechiras Chametz, people want to avoid the problem of Chametz, so they sell the Chametz. So that's what Rav Shechter pointed out. In the Gemara, they have a concept of making a shutuf with a goy. In other words, before the animal is born, you make a shutuf with the Akum. And this way, it's not a Jewish animal that gave birth. It's an animal that has a shutuf with a non-Jew, and then that will take away the kedushas b'chor. So that's what, as Rav Shechter pointed out, was telling us they would make a shutuf, if you'll own the ear, he'll own the whatever part of the animal, and that will solve the problem. It's interesting, this concept of, and then this will, you make a real shutuf with a goy. You know, a lot of times there's a shaila that comes up in halacha and tefilas kelim. that people are very afraid to be tovel electric appliances because you're afraid it's going to break. He's afraid it's going to break. So one possibility is, like Rav Abadi always suggests, to make a shutuf with a goy. That have the goy, you make a kinyan that the goy should also have a chalik in that kli. And then it'll be a kli that's not only owned by a Jew. What's halacha? If a Jew gets a kli from a goy, he has to be tovel. But if that's only if it's a Jewish ownership. But if it's not a Jewish ownership, it's owned b'shutfis with a goy, that could also circumvent the, you know, the idea of. You know, everybody says always you can give him, a quarter, go give the goy a quarter, and he'll give it back to you. I think Rav Shechter mentioned there should be maybe a kinyan, you know, a kinyan hagbah. Something like that. So the guy will pick up the kli or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. But to have some type of kinyan that could, you know, to circumvent the problem of tefilas kelim. Because again, you have an issue here that maybe... you know, there's a chiv, maybe there is no chiv. Or, you know, there's a chiv, but you may break it. So, just like by the b'chor, one possibility is that was, you know, when COVID started last year, when people were afraid to go to the mikvah, so people were doing different. One of the things that people were doing were making, I think Rav Shechter suggested hefker, others were suggesting. To make a shutuf with the goy, I think Rabbi Willig had like that, but it's the same concept that we have by the bechor, same concept of the bechor. That you don't want to have a bechor. If you had a base of mikdash, then you'd have a place to bring it to, but now you just have a bechor that's going to be roaming around. And only will be a liability for you. That's talking about Bechor Behema. But when you talk about Bechor Adam doesn't have any Kedusha. In other words, when we have a Bechor, like a Pidyon HaBen, so normally when you're doing a Pidyon HaBen, so it's not pshat that the child is kaddish, and now you're taking the kedusha away from the child to bring. You normally pidyon means something is kaddish, and then you're taking the kedusha away from the you know, from the kaddish item, and you're putting it on the money. A b'chor, a child, a human being, doesn't have. There's no such thing as kedushas b'chor by a human being. Kedushas b'chor is only of by an animal. That has real kedusha, and if you use it, you violate, you know, the shayla of me'ila and things like that. But a child, when you say pidyon haben, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the tshuva, there's no pidyon going on. Pidyon means you're transferring kedusha. There's no transfer going on. There's no transfer going on. So what is it? It's a lashon mushal. It's a borrow terminology. I'm just giving a kohen money as a balchov to the kohen. But it's not that the kedusha of the child is transferring to the money. There's no kedusha to the child. There's no kedusha. I mean, the child has as much kedusha as any Jew has kedusha, you know. But it's not like but Mashen Cain in the animal field, a regular animal, it's not the bechor, not the firstborn, is chulin. You could use it for whatever you want, but a bechor behema is kedush. So therefore, we want to avoid that from happening. Now there is a discussion. In the Gemara says that what happens if the when the before the Bechor comes out, you put something over his head. So when he comes, when he's delivered, the head of the animal is not what? Is not touching the rechem, the peter rechem. It's not touching the rechem as it goes out, the opening of the rechem. So the Gemara says, therefore, there'll be a chatzitza. There'll be a chatzitza between the head of the animal and the rechem of the mother. And that will cause that there's no kedusha. That will cause, because there's a chatzitza. The kedusha comes from the head touching the rechem as it's going out. So if you make, if you, karcho besiv, if you put something around the head, then what? That will prevent the kedusha from coming out, and then the bechor won't be, the bechor will not be kaddish. Now we don't usually do that because that's going to be very difficult to but the concept is that concept of chatzitza. So that's why there's a question in the poskim of when you deliver a child with forceps, right? You put something around the head and you schlep it out, right? So will there be a din of what? Of a chiv of pidyon haben. Because do we say that just like the Gemara says that if the head of the animal says something around it and it'll be a chatzitza, so too, what? There'll be a chatzitza by the forceps will be around the head, and then the head of the child won't be touching the rechem. And therefore, maybe that will stop the chiv of pidyon haben. So some poskim say in a chanami, it's a shayl of chatzitza, and therefore it wouldn't have a chiv pidyon haben because of chatzitza. Rav Shechter likes to quote the tshuva of the Rogachover, the Tzoftas Paneach, and he says a different reason. He says the reason why perhaps it's potter is not because of chatzitza. He says it's potter because it's a yotzei dofen. In other words, what's the halacha? If there's a C-section, right, there's no chiyuv of pidyon haben, right? Because it's not a leida. It's a C-section. And we also have to realize, some people don't realize that. Just recently I had this question. One of my Talmidim had a baby on Shabbos. So he's telling me, so we're going to have a bris on Shabbos. So I said, no, you're not. Why? Because it was a C-section. And a C-section is not a regular leida. It's not docha Shabbos. That's very important to know. That a C-section, the bris is not docha Shabbos, even though the baby was born on Shabbos. Not docha Shabbos. Oh, so what is a C-section? The simple pshat of a C-section is that the baby doesn't come out vaginally; it comes out from the womb. You open up the womb and you take the baby out. You cut it open and you take it out. You do surgery, right? Masha ein kein. So why is forceps considered a yotzei dofen according to the Rogachover? Forceps is coming out regular. It's coming out what? It's coming out vaginally. It's not coming out through the stomach. So why does the Rogachover say that's a yotzei dofen? Because the Rogachover learns, Shechter likes to point this out, that the idea of a C-section, of a yotzei dofen, is not only about where it comes out physically. It's a concept. What's the concept? The concept is, did the child come out because of the hormones in the body pushing it out? Or did it come out without the hormones in the body? So if you have a regular birth, right? So what's bringing the child out? It's the hormones of when the womb is contracting. The hormones of the body are pushing. And then together with yop, then it comes out. But if you're doing it what? If you're doing it with a yotzei dofen, so it's not coming out hormone. It's not like the body's pushing it out. It's you made a cut, and you took it out. So therefore, say it comes out vaginally, but it wasn't because of the pushing of the body, the hormones of the body pushing it out, but you needed forceps to schlep it out. But you schlepped it out from the same place it's schlepped out normally. So most people will say, so that's also considered a leida. So the Ragachev, as Rav Shachter explains, is no. That's considered yotzei dofen, even though it didn't come out, you know, through the stomach. But the Ragachev holds, it doesn't matter where it comes out. The main yisod is, did it come out hormonally, the body pushing it out, or did it come out manually? It had nothing to do with the hormones of the body. So therefore, when you took it out vaginally and you schlepped it out, and it wasn't because of the hormones of the body, that's why they needed forceps, because the hormones of the body weren't bringing it out, and you had to just schlep it out. So that's called yotzei dofen, even though it's coming out from the same way that it would normally come out. So Rogachev is learning, as Rav Shachter explained, Pasha Pshat people learn yotzei dofen versus a regulator is question which part of the body is it coming out. Rogachev is learning, no, it's a concept. Is it coming out hormonally or is it coming out manually? So Mimela, according to the Rogachev, as Rav Shachter pointed out, then a forceps baby wouldn't have pidyon haben because it's a yotzei. It's considered like a yotzei dofen, conceptually. And Rav Moshe Feinstein has a third opinion. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that no. That when you have a forceps baby, you have a chiv of pidyon haben with a bracha. No coolers. A chiv of pidyon haben with a bracha. Why? Because Rav Moshe says... In other words, the Rogachev, that's a big chiddush to say that, you know, it's a concept, it's not a question of where to... So that wasn't even on his radar. The question is, what about the shitas that it's a chatzitza? Just like the Gemara says, if you have a bechor behema that comes out, and you have something around the head, so it's a chatzitza, so the forceps should also be a chatzitza, right? The thing that's encaging the head should also be, so the Moshe said, no, the din of chatzitz is only by a behema. Because a behema, there's real kedusha. So Mamela, if it's not touching the rechem, the head is not touching the rechem, there's something intervening between the head and the rechem, that's a chatzitza. So therefore, the kedusha won't be chal, because the kedusha comes because of the negia, that the head is touching the rechem. But since by Bechor Adam, there's no what? There's no real kedusha, so it's nothing to do with negia. It just has to do with being born, and therefore, even though it was a chatzitza, maybe it is a chatzitza. But so what? That din of chatzitza was only said by bechor behema, not by bechor adam. And that's the thing. So this is a very. So I remember when my first son was born. So, my wife's shita is we don't find out the gender beforehand. That's her shita. We don't find out the gender. She's always afraid that they're going to tell her the wrong information and she's going to get so, you know, have such, you know, that it's a boy or a girl, and then they're going to, you know, it's going to be a whole... I'm not choshish for that they're going to tell me a mistake. I think they'll tell me, but she doesn't want to know, so we don't know. So it's always a big... So it's a big surprise what it's going to be. And of course, you know, Baruch Hashem should be healthy anyway. But once it's a boy, then there's a lot of pressure. You gotta get ready with the moil. You got to get ready with the shalom sacha. With a girl, there's no pressure. There's no time limit, you know. You make a kiddush eventually. So, So our first child, I was hoping it should be a boy so we could have the mitzvah of pidyon haben. But then, you know, we were overdue. We were overdue by a lot. So I was, you know, being conscious that maybe, you know, we'd have the shiloh about forceps or, you know, this, and then it'll be, I don't want to get into shilohs about, you know, about this. So in the end, it was induced, but it wasn't forceps. So as Rabbi Tanfel Cohen said, Rabbi Shech, the son-in-law, that shouldn't be a shiloh because it's still going to be with hormones. It's not going to be, it's not a forceps. But then Baruch Hashem, we were able to have Pidyon HaBen. And of course, the best day of the week to have a Pidyon HaBen is on Sunday, because you know Sunday you can, you know, no one goes to work, so it's, you know, you don't have to be so you know. So if you have a baby that's born on Friday, you have a Friday bris, you get a Sunday Pidyon HaBen. So Baruch Hashem for that. But that's the yesod of yeah. But this idea also, you know, the Bechor and the Kedusha has to do with you know. Rav Shach Shita about the with the Kenyan, you know, with the you know, he, and I'm not saying lahalacha what he would say. I was just saying before that he's, you know, he's choshesh that, you know, maybe the Kenyan kesef wouldn't work by a guy, and then you'd have to do a, you know, another type of Kenyan, etc. So I'm not saying lahalacha how he would paskin by tefilas kalim in terms of you know. With a kinyan with a goy, but Rav Abadi isn't making a kinyan with a goy to you know, get out of the shiloh. Okay, so there's so much more to say on this, and Rav Shachter pointed out that the Ragachev also has a discussion about Hilchos Nida, how it works. Okay, that can go on forever, but let's say some Divrei Agada now. The first pasuk in Chumash, Bereishis Bara Elokim Es Hashamayim Ves Haaretz. So the Vilna Gaon has a Mesorah that all the mitzvahs in the Torah are merumas in Parshas Bereishis. So imagine I'm pointing out. So the question is, they asked them, so where's Pidyon HaBen in Sefer Bereishis? So it says the first word in the Torah, Bereishis. Ben, Rishon, Achar, Shloshim, Yom, Tifta. Roshay Tevis. Bereishis. Ben, Rishon, Achar, Shloshim, Yom, Tifta. So that's the Vilna Gaon. So I was always enamored. Okay, so it's very nice. It's a nice remez. Ben, Rishon, Achar, Shloshim, Yom, Tifta. It's a good drasha if you have to speak at a pidyon on Ben. What I'm going to tell you now is a good drasha. But what's the significance of that? What's the significance that that should be the first word of the Torah, the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen? A lot of mitzvahs. Why should Pidyon HaBen be the first mitzvah? The first word of the Torah is Merumas in Pidyon HaBen. Now, there was a Vilna Gaon said it, but he doesn't give you an explanation of, and therefore what? What is that trying to show us? So I always thought like this, that, you know, Rav Hudna has in a sefer, I forget whether he says it himself or it's from the Maral. Bechor, it's interesting. The word Bechor is Beis Chof Reish, right? Beis is number 2, Chof is number 20, and Reish is number 200. So it's always the second in the singular digits, in the tens and the hundreds. And what does that show? That shows, as Rav Hudna has in the sefer, maybe from him or from the Maral, that the Bechor is the continuation of his father, number 2. In other words, the father was, and now he's the continuation. He's number 2 of the single digits, of the tens, of the hundreds, etc. So what's the idea? The idea is like this. You know, the Torah begins with Chumash Bereishis, all about the Maisa Bria. So, and the Emunah Bashem, he created the world. Now, how do we know all these things? Where do we know this from? So some people are into codes and they're into all the things, but the truth of the matter is, it's all because we believe in our Mesorah. In other words, how do I know about this Yontif, about this thing? Because I heard it from my father, who heard it from his father, who heard it, you know, as far back as we go. So the idea of believing in the Maisa Bereishis comes from our Mesorah. It was proof of God, proof of everyone wants proofs. But the true proof is we have a Mesorah. You know, at the beginning of this week's parsha, now you heard it from your father, his father, etc. So that's what the Torah is telling us. The Torah tells us, how do you know this whole thing is true? Look at the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. Because the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen says that there's a hemshech from your father to the son, to the grandson, and that's where the Bechor is. It's the second. It's the hemshech. And that's where everything comes, our Mesorah. Our Mesorah B'Hashem. That everything that we have is not because of this proof or that proof. There are a lot of proofs. Like Rabbi Chanan Wasserman has his famous piece where he was asked, you know, a kid's 13 years old. So he's 13 years old and we tell him, you're now chayiv in all the mitzvahs. So how can you tell? You tell a kid he has to eat matzah. Okay, it's not hard. Eat matzah. You don't have to be such a tremendous madrega to eat matzah. You just have to have a good stomach and you eat the matzah. You'll be good. But to emunah, that's a lofty thing. That's a lofty thing. You know, so many people don't have emunah. And you're asking this 13-year-old kid, I want you to have emunah. What do you expect from him? So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says that emunah is a dover pashut. Why? Yeah, look at the suit. This suit is intricately woven, etc. Is anyone going to tell you think this suit just happened by itself? Of course not. So the world, with all the intricacies, obviously just is more complicated than this suit. So then why don't people have emunah? You know why, he says, Rabbi Chanan, people don't have emunah because if they opt out of emunah, then nothing is binding, according to them. And then they have freedom. They can do whatever they want. They can eat whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. So that's a tremendous shochad, says Rabbi Chanan. Because you're getting what you consider a carefree life without any restrictions, that's shochad. So really, it's pashut. But there's so many things that get in our way, so-called shochad, that will take away our emunah. But and that's why, says Rabbi Chanan, emunah is something we could ask of a 13-year-old. We could ask emunah. But the idea being, what bolsters our emunah is our Mesorah. Shal avicha v'yagedcha, zekeinecha v'yomru lach. That we have a Mesorah, we have a way of from our father to son throughout the generations. And that's why I thought that's what the Vilna Gaon is teaching us. The Vilna Gaon is teaching us, we're starting Chumash now. We're starting Maisa Bracious now. You know, I always say Parshas Bracious is the Gemara says you're not supposed to spend too much time on Parshas Bracious. Because you'll become a koifer. You'll come. That's why I always say, Bracious is the only sedra that we don't always get a full week to do. Sometimes, you know, Simchas Torah can be on a Friday, and then you got to do it by Shabbos. You know, every other parsha, you get a full week. Sometimes you get more than a full week to do, right? Because, like, some parshas, there's yontif in between, you can have 2 weeks to do. Bracious sometimes will get 1 day to do. What's the idea? Because it's not something we should be thinking about too much. You think about it, then you're going to say, "Oh, is this really true? Is this really you know?" Sometimes thinking like Lubavitcher Rebbe once said, sometimes thinking too much could go against you. You know, it could be of course you should be a thought out person, but what's the idea? Emunah pshuta. Well, where's my emunah pshuta come from? Because I sat next to my father in shul. I sat next to my grandfather. That's where my emunah, and I saw how they davened. That's how I get my emunah pshuta. And that's Ben Rishon, Achar Shloshim Yom Tifte. Because the Bechor, he's the second. And then the rest of the siblings are an extension of him. And that's why, even though the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen is a mitzvah that's such a it's an important mitzvah. We do it this, but it's the yisod of all of Yadus. It's that we're part of a Masorah. We're part of, and that's where Zeh Keli Vanveyu, Elokei Aviv Ramamenu. I have my relationship, but then I also have the relationship that I got from my father and my grandfather, and that's why that should be, that's the Vilna Gaon premise. That the first pasuk in Chumash, the first word in Chumash, forget the first pasuk, the first word in Chumash has to be that. But it's interesting, one other halacha I'll tell you, the Gemara has in Nedarim. And even though an animal, when it's born, peterechem, is kaddish, it's kaddish. Me'elov. It's not like any other korban. It's not like any other korban. If you don't verbalize that it's kaddish, then it's not kaddish. You have to make it kaddish. Kiddush is peh. But bechor is kaddish me'elov. But you know what the Gemara says? There's still a mitzvah to be kaddish bepeh. There's still a mitzvah, the Gemara Nedarim. Was it Gimel there? The whole sugya there. It's a mitzvah to be mekadosh bepeh. Rav Shechter once made a parallel to Shabbos. Because Shabbos is kadosh me'elov. In other words, Shabbos is going to be here whether you like it or not, whether you accept it or you don't. There's a concept of Kabbalah Shabbos. But once Shkia comes, it's Shabbos. Whether you accepted Shabbos or you didn't accept Shabbos. But yet we still make Kiddush. So Rav Shechter pointed out that parallel. Sometimes, even though it's kadosh me'elov, there's still a mitzvah to be mekadosh bepeh. And that's what we do by Kiddush. It's kadosh me'elov, but still we make Kiddush. And as the Shulchan Aruch says, we should make Kiddush right away when you come home. Right? The Shulchan Aruch says, one of the halachas that people sometimes neglect is two words. Yekadosh miyad. That some, you come home, sometimes people are involved in a very deep conversation. You know, especially now, there's so many things to talk about. You know, you can talk about the new president, the old president. You know, there's so many things that people could talk about these days. You know? So there are always people into heated conversations. And by the time they made Kiddush ready, it's already 45 minutes till they walked in the house. So that's not proper. You Kaddish Miyad. You go to the table, you make Kiddush right away. Why? The Alter Rebbe says. Because it's not a proper covet. You have the guest here. Say you have a guest. You're leaving him in the living room by himself. And he's sitting there. It's not respectful, right? You go over, you greet him, etc. So that's the Shabbos. Shabbos is here. You came home, Shabbos is here. You have to greet the Shabbos. Even though Shabbos is Kaddish Me'elov, but you still have to greet Shabbos. You still have to greet Shabbos. So the best thing is, when you come home, you hang up your coat or whatever, and you go to the table, you Kaddish Miyad. And then you should start to suit him yet also. So you have to work it out that everything is prepared. You know, you work it out that, you know, you have to have your wife on board also, you know, when she's ready. But, you know, so she'll give you the cue. But Lamaisa, there's a din of your Kaddish Miyad. And then there's also halacha that as soon as you make Kiddush, you have to have the Suda. You should start the Suda. Because you need Kiddush Makom Suda. And the Ramah says Kiddush Makom Suda is not only a din in location. It means that right after the Kiddush, you should start the Suda. Doesn't mean you have to start the main course, but at least make Hamotzi. You know, because that's part of the covered of Shabbos and the covered of... So when we get to this week's Parsha, is the beginning. It's the first mitzvah. HaChodesh HaZelach. You know, we have more mitzvahs before, but Mila and... But those mitzvahs... For the others, right? Those mitzvahs for the right. Lo haya Torah lo haskel mechodesh zelachem. Right, famous Rashi. But and this is the beginning of Chodesh Nisan, and the beginning of all our Masorah comes from here, from the beginning, and then we get Shir Sayam and then Matan Torah. But that's the idea. That there's an idea of Kaddish, Kedusha, Kedusha Shabbos, Kedushas Adam, and all these things come from our Masorah. So even though it's different, Kedushas, Kaddish li kol b'chor, that's real Kedusha. But this is not real Kedusha of a child, because he's not Kaddish, there's no Mi'ila. But the Kedusha stems from, this is going to be our Mesorah. This is going to be our way to, when someone asks us, why do you believe? How do you believe? It's because I have a Mesorah. Rabbi Chan gives a very nice explanation, because it's really a Svara, Pshuta, that it must be. But still, even with that explanation, the Iker is that we have a Mesorah from generations to generations. And that's what Rabbi Willick said, or Moshe Feinstein once said, you know, we say the Pasuk, Magi Devarav Liyakov, Chukov Mishpotov Yisrael, Lo Asachem L'chol Goy. He said, what do you mean, Lo Asachem L'chol Goy? They have Chukim, we have Chukim, but Lo Asachem, they don't have Chukim, they have plenty of Chukim. You go to a law library, you'll see how many books they have in a law library. What do you mean they don't have Chukim? So Moshe Feinstein said, you know what it means? He says, Goyim, they can sit by a law library and read all the books, and they'll master it. But we need is Magid Rav Liyakov. Our Mesorah doesn't just come from Sfarim. It comes from Magid Rav, an oral tradition. That's why we have to have Rebbeim and Rabbanim, or people, live people that we can connect to. And it's so important for our children to make sure they're in a yeshiva where they can have that relationship. You know, it gives me the most nachas when my son comes home to me and he says to me, you know, Abba, you know, I shmooze with my Rebbe. We're talking together. You know, they're not necessarily learning. You know, life, we have a kesha. And that's you know, that creates the, that's ultimately going to create the relationship. That's ultimately going to create the Magid of Rav Yaakov. That you learn by your Rebbe, he taught you how to learn, he talks you how to deal with life issues. And that's the idea. That's the Hemshech, that's the Bechor. That's Kaddish Likol Bechor Peto Karechem Bivnei Yisrael. And that's what Yiddishkeit is all about. It's not just law books. Law books, you can get a lawyer, he'll have his law books. But with us, without live role models and live people that we can learn from, then we don't have anything. So Bez Hashem, as we get to this week's Parshas Bo, and we read the mitzvah of Kedushas Bechor, we understand the importance of the Hemshech Hadoros, and that's the crucial ability of being able to have this special Mesorah, as it says in this week's one, L'man tisaper ba'ozne bincho uvem bincho. Okay, have a good Shabbos, everybody. Good to see you all.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay.
Kol
tov, good Shabbos, and we'll see each other, Bez Hashem. Kol tov, you should be well, everybody.
Amen.